Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Why don't you turn and wish somebody a Merry Christmas? Come on, two or three people, say Merry Christmas to somebody. Merry Christmas, or may the force be with you. Since that also seems to be the theme for today, where else can you go to church and catch Star Wars all in the same morning? Come on, people. This is like the greatest thing ever. There's plenty enough show times, okay? So if your kids are excited, just take them to go see Star Wars right after service. But good morning and Merry Christmas. It's great to see all of you. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Don't get trampled by people going to see Star Wars today. We're going to have a great day today. I hope you're getting into the Christmas spirit. How many of you are done with all of your Christmas shopping and you have that relief? You can just go into this week and just feel good about yourself. There's all the early birds. Some of you are like my wife. You're done. My wife Christmas shops like all year long. It's amazing. It's amazing. How many of you still have some Christmas shopping left to do? The vast majority of people. All right, you're going to get it done, okay? Get it done. Go shopping tomorrow. Get it all out of your way so you can just relax and enjoy the rest of the week, okay? Well, we're getting into the Christmas spirit. I tell you, I did some very Christmassy things this past week. Had a blast. I think it was Tuesday. Amy and I and the boys, we went with Adam and Megan Malusi sitting right up there. We went to the train show with their kids at the New York Botanical Garden. And I tell you what, it was amazing. If you've never been to the train show before, you've got to see it. It's incredible. They take the main conservatory there, and they turn the whole thing into a giant train display. And there's like electric toy trains for miles. And then they take all of these iconic New York structures like Grand Central Terminal and the Brooklyn Bridge and the Empire State Building, and they build them out of like natural things like twigs and sticks and things that they collected around the gardens. And they just build these amazing sets. So we had a blast. The kids had a great time. But I think Adam and I were more excited about the trains than the boys. I'm pretty sure we were. You like never grow too old for that stuff. So we had a blast. And then Friday night, Aaron and I, my oldest, we went down to the city because we had some friends in town. My good friend Daryl Boss and his daughter and some friends are in town. And we went ice skating in Central Park, and it was amazing. And then, of course, we went down to Rockefeller Center, and we saw the Christmas tree. And we were there with like a million other people who tried to step on top of us. But everybody was pretty nice and wishing each other Merry Christmas. And we saw the light show at Saks Fifth Avenue. And it was just amazing. Don't you just love New York at Christmas time? This is like the greatest city to be in for Christmas time. And it just put me in a really like just Christmassy, jolly mood. And there's just something beautiful about Christmas, isn't there? Isn't this a beautiful time of year? I mean, the lights and the decorations and the music and the festivities and the celebrations. There's like a certain like quality of beauty to Christmas that we experience this time of year. Are you with me this morning? Do you love this time of year? Like I could just belt out, it's the most wonderful time of the year right now. But I will save you. I will spare you from the agony of hearing me sing that. You ought to hear me sing that one in the shower. It's pretty good. But anyway, there's a certain beautiful quality this time of year. Not only the festivities, but, you know, the family and the friends and the sense of peace and the warm-heartedness and the generosity and, like, people loving each other. Like, even mean people are nice at Christmas time. Like, that grumpy guy who cuts you off in traffic, you know, commuting is, like, jolly and happy. And there's just a certain, like, beauty to the season. And I really think there's a sense of God's presence this time of year. There's a sense of, like, the joy of God. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about this season of beauty, this beauty and the presence and the goodness of God that we experience in a very special way at Christmas time. Because Jesus came to reveal to us who God is. Jesus came to reveal the beauty and the goodness and the truth of a good God. And that's why this season is such a special time. There's something about this season where we encounter that kind of beautiful presence of God, and it's really evident, even to people who aren't necessarily believers or church-going Christians. They kind of encounter it at this time. People just know that peace on earth is a good thing, right? With all the violence that's going on. People just know that generosity, like intrinsically, people know that that's better than just selfishness and materialism. And so there's this kind of self-evident beauty that we encounter at Christmas time, and I really believe the thumbprints of God are all over it, and we just need to embrace it in this season. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to share with you a few thoughts this morning. You should have received some notes when you came in, along with some crayons. You can decorate your notes as well. But Christmas is beautiful because, first of all, it reveals to us the wonder of God. The wonder of God. Everybody say wonder. Wonder. The Apostle John, in his gospel, the prologue, the introduction to his gospel, he talks about the incarnation. He talks about the thing that the church has believed for 2,000 years, that God came to us in flesh and blood, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to us as a person. We talked about this verse 2 weeks ago. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle John puts it this way: the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Listen to these words: we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us that Jesus came to reveal God's glory to us. And then the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, Jesus comes to us in flesh and blood, and he reveals to us the God who we can't see. So when we want to know what God is like, we look no further than the Son of God. We look at Jesus because Jesus came to reveal the wonder of who God is. Christmas is a time when we're awakened to the beauty and the awe and the glory and the majesty of God, our Father, and that's what Jesus came to do. That's why Christmas is so special. That's why we sense that at this time of year. That's why this season is so filled with joy. Joy to the world. Joy to everybody. People are walking around. They're experiencing the joy of God. And there's peace, and there's love, and there's generosity. It's all because Jesus came. It's supposed to happen that way. Jesus came to reveal to us a great and gracious and loving God. It says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And so Jesus comes and he shows us what God is like. But how many of you know this is true? We can experience God's presence in our lives all throughout the year, not just at Christmas time. Come on, how many of you know that we need to encounter the majesty and the glory and the peace and the beauty of God in our lives all year round? The truth is, it's all around us. Just sometimes we're kind of blind to it. We need eyes to see God's goodness around us. In his book, Island of the Colorblind, neurologist Dr. Oliver Sacks writes about a genetic oddity on the island of Pingalap in the South Pacific, this very interesting little island, this little archipelago of islands in the South Pacific called Pingalap. We have a picture of it, a beautiful island. And here's the very peculiar thing there. One out of every 12 people has a condition that leads to complete colorblindness. I mean, completely colorblind. They cannot see color at all. Now, normally in the rest of the world, one out of 30,000 people is colorblind. But on this island, it's one in every 12 because a few hundred years ago, a typhoon came and wiped out the majority of the population, and only a few people were left over. And in that small population that survived the typhoon, one person carried this gene for what's called congenital achromatopsia. Can't believe I got that right. But it is the disorder that leads to complete and utter colorblindness. Now, here's the irony of the situation. These people live in this beautiful island surrounded by green, lush vegetation and beautiful blue seas and all these tropical, colorful fruits in every direction. And so many people are walking around in this beautiful landscape and they can't see any of it. Can you believe that? What irony, right? You see, Christians are people who have the ability to see God's presence and glory in everyday life where others don't see it. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just something we see at Christmas time. At Christmas time, people tend to get it. People kind of get the message. There's something about it that's just self-evident. But we as Christians, we are people who should be awakened to God's glory. We should see it in the everyday things. We should see it in the way a mother cares for her child. We should see it in simple acts of generosity, of strangers being kind to each other. Maybe a beautiful sunrise. Have you ever been somewhere like out in nature, maybe camping, and you looked up and saw the stars, or you got up early and saw a beautiful sunrise and just the awe and the majesty of God kind of took your breath away? Have you been there before? I remember a few years ago, Amy and I were on an anniversary trip out to Seattle, and we went to Mount Rainier, and I tell you, it really was breathtaking. It literally took my breath away when we got up to that mountain and just saw the majesty of God. And it's something we should see around us every day, but we have to have eyes to see it. You see, our ability to see God's beauty is only limited by our capacity to see it. And so we want to say, God, give us the capacity to see it. The famous British poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes this: earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries. The truth is, God's goodness in his presence and his glory. They're around us every day. And when we get a glimpse of Jesus, we see who God is. See, it's so easy to focus on the bad things. Why are bad things happening in the world? Put on the news and there's nothing but bad news. Bad things are happening to good people. And people walk around and they kind of complain. And what happens is we begin to see the world in black and white. We begin to focus on all of the bad things. But you know, nobody ever talks about, what about all the good things that are happening? What about all the acts of generosity? What about forgiveness and healing and reconciliation and peace and the blessings of God in our lives? And so our prayer at Christmas is, God, give us eyes to see. God, open our eyes to see your goodness around us. God, open our eyes to see your blessings. God, open our hearts and our eyes to see your presence in our lives. Come on, how many of you know we need to pray that prayer at Christmas? We don't want to just be like that at Christmas time, but we want to be that way all year round. I mean, what would a fresh vision of Christ look like in your life? What kind of impact would that have on you? Our prayer is, God, give us eyes to see your glory. Give us eyes to see your beauty. At this time of year, God, when it's so revealed to us, God, help us to be people who are aware of your presence. Here's a prayer I think we all need to pray. God, help us to be worshipers and not complainers. Boy, my hand's up. I need to pray that one. God, help me to be more thankful. Help me to be filled with more gratitude. Help me to be a worshiper instead of seeing everything in black and white and doom and gloom and all the bad things. God, open my eyes to see 1,000 little blessings every day, 1,000 little good things that are happening all around, all these symbols of your wonder, all of these symbols of peace, all of these symbols of people loving each other. God, help us to see those things and not just be focused on the bad. And that's what Christmas does. It kind of gives us a wake-up call. It kind of shocks us back to our senses, and we encounter the wonder of a God who loves us. Here's the other thing. Christmas is beautiful because it brings us transformation. Everybody say transformation. Christmas brings us transformation. Jesus came to transform us. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what this is all about. He didn't just come so you could get a nice new sweater for Christmas. Happy for you. But it's really about Jesus coming to change us. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, he says, for we are God's handiwork. Maybe your translation says we are God's workmanship. Some translations even say we are God's masterpiece. Oh, I really like that one. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What a wonderful scripture. He's saying we are under construction in Christ Jesus as we place our faith in Christ. He is recreating us. He is remodeling us. He is rebuilding us into something for his glory. We're works of art in progress. You're a masterpiece. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm a masterpiece. Say it like you mean it. Say it with a little attitude. I'm a masterpiece, baby. Come on. Say it like you believe it. I'm a work of art under construction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, maybe your translation says reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Jesus came to conform us to his image with ever-increasing glory. See, Jesus came to transform us. Christmas is about a God who comes to change us. He's not a God who leaves us in our brokenness. He's not a God who allows us to be defined by our mistakes. He's not a God who allows us to just be marred by our sin, but he's a God who comes to bring transformation to us. Christmas is about God restoring the divine image in humanity. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we shared on the incarnation. You see, human beings don't just have a sin problem. Oh, we do have a sin problem, but we don't just have a sin problem. Something at the very core of our being is broken. Something about humanity is broken. All you have to do is put on the news and hear the stories of people doing terrible things to each other. Something is broken about humanity, and we cannot fix ourselves. How many of you know that's true? And so what God did is he took a drastic step. And so he came to us, the Son of God came to us in flesh and blood to get the image of God back into humanity. Back into humanity. See, if you remember in the creation account, it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth and he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living, breathing being. And it says that mankind, humanity, was created in the image of God. Do you remember that? Studying that maybe in Sunday school or catechism, learning about the creation story. And it says that humanity is stamped with the image of God. Unlike any other creation, unlike the animals and the plants and the earth, we are the only thing. We are the pinnacle. We are the prize of all of God's creation. And somehow we reflect his image. And at the fall of man, at the sin of man, the first sin, something happened. Somehow the image of God in us was tarnished. It was marred. It was broken. It wasn't completely lost. But Jesus came to get God's image back into us, to restore us into everything that God knows we can be. When I think about this, I think about dark room photography development. Now, I don't know much about that. I've never been to a dark room photo lab, but I know, you know, I know some of the basics here. I know that in a dark room, you have the negatives are bathed in this special concoction of water and chemicals, and there's special lighting in the room, and there's timing, and when all of these ingredients come together in time, a picture is developed, as you see there in that picture. And it's a process. It's a process. And see, when you placed your faith in Christ, or when you place your faith in Christ, it's like God the Father takes a snapshot of you at that moment. And that photo takes a lifetime to develop. That's that process of God working in us and making us into who he wants us to be. But you know, when the picture develops, it comes out looking like Jesus. It comes out looking like Jesus because Jesus came to conform us to his image. He's working in our lives. He's making us better. We're under construction. We ain't finished yet. God's got some work to do in our lives. So listen, if you've got some hang-ups, if you've got some habits, if you've made some mistakes, if you've got some failures, if you sin every now and then, I think most of us do, I'm here to give you good news. You are under construction. You're a masterpiece in the creating. God is working in your life if you're in Christ. And I look forward to 10 years from now being a lot more like Jesus than I am now. Are you with me this morning? That's the good news. Jesus came to transform us. Jesus came to get God's image inside of us. Christmas is a time for us to encounter the redemptive potential that we have in Christ. Jesus came to make you the best version of you that you can possibly be. And so my question for you is, at this Christmas time, what does that look like in your life? Come on, let's personalize this for a moment. Let's personalize this. Reflect on this for a moment. What does that look like in your life? What areas of your life does God want to change? What parts of your life does he want to kind of chisel and mold and shape? Maybe there's some habits we have to let go of. Maybe we need God's help to break some sinful addictions. Maybe it's somebody we need to forgive. Maybe it's just more fully embracing our walk with God. But we need to have hearts that are open and say, God, how do you want to change me? How do you want to transform me? Christmas isn't just about presents and decorations and lights. God, we thank you for all of that. But in this season, we don't want to miss the message. We want to open our hearts to you and say, Jesus, how do you want to come to me afresh in this time? That's what Advent is about. It's Latin for the term coming. And so our prayer collectively as a church is, Jesus, come into our lives, come into our hearts, God, come and change us, come and mold us and shape us and make us into who you want us to be. How many of you know we need to pray that prayer this Christmas? And here's the good thing, he came to shape you and make you into something beautiful. Some of you in here today, you might not feel very beautiful. Maybe you look at yourself and you feel ugly. Maybe you look at yourself in the mirror and what's staring back at you is your past, your failures, your mistakes, your brokenness, somebody who walked out on you, a parent who wasn't there for you, abuse, something hurtful. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're defined by that. But here's what I'm saying to you. In Christ Jesus, all of that changes. The scripture says he or she, whoever's in Christ, is a new creation. So Jesus came to make you into something new, something beautiful. And you are full of redemptive potential. Those areas of your life that you can't change on your own, the Holy Spirit can empower you to change and become everything that God desires you to be and do everything that he's called you to do. That's really good news at Christmas time. And then here's the third thing. Christmas is beautiful because it empowers us to change the world. It empowers us to change the world. You see, at Christmas time, we celebrate because the world has forever been changed by the coming of Jesus Christ. How many of you know the world has never been the same because Jesus visited this planet? Can you picture for a moment, what would the world be like if Jesus had never come? Think about a world without Christmas. Think about a world without the church. Think about all of the things that Christians do in the world. Orphanages, schools, relief work, missions work, feeding the poor. All of those things. Can you imagine if all of that never existed, if Jesus had never come? Well, I begin to think of a very dark and bleak world when I think about that. But we celebrate this time of year because the world has been forever changed because the Savior of the world literally came to us. He walked the planet. He lived and he did everything that we believe he's done. He did the things that are in Scripture and the evidence is all around us. It's changed lives. It's lives in every direction that have been changed today. Many of you are sitting here today because you had an encounter with Christ that changed your life and it's still changing your life. I'm standing here today because I've had an encounter with Christ. The Savior of the world has come to me. It's a very personal thing. It's for the whole world, but it's also for me. And so we celebrate that at Christmas time. But here's the thing. At Christmas time, we don't just think of all these wonderful things that God has done for us and just kind of keep it all to ourselves. No, we're reminded that this is a season of generosity. This is a season of giving. right? One of the things we love. How many of you look forward to receiving but also giving presents, making somebody happy, getting that special gift and just watching them open it up? Any of you like that? You bring somebody a gift and you're like, open it right now, open it. Yeah. They're like, can I open it now? You're like, yes, yeah, yeah, please. You just can't wait to see them open it, right? You're excited. Some of you are better givers than receivers. You just love for people to open your gift. Christmas reminds us of our calling to share what God has done with us for others. The beauty that God has given to us that we talked about before, we are invited to share that beauty with the world. We're invited to go and make the world beautiful. Jesus gave us a mission. Jesus gave us his legacy. Jesus gave us his ministry. He left it all to his disciples. He left it all to his church. And he said, now go and do what I've done for you. Share this gospel. Love the world. Care for the poor. Do all the things that I've called you to do. And when it's all said and done, we're called to change the world. We're empowered by Jesus. We're empowered with his presence, with his spirit, to go and share Christmas with the world, to go and bring the good news. This morning, in just a moment, I want to show you a video that really encapsulates this point and preaches the message better than I can. Many of you know, if you've been here for the last few weeks, we're going to be receiving a special Christmas offering in just a few moments. If you came in today, you should have received an offering envelope. There's a spot on this offering envelope where you can either write in missions or offering in addition to our regular tithes and offering. You can get ready for your Christmas offering there. Also, if you give through our mobile giving, there's a special spot in our mobile giving in addition to tithes and offerings where you can put a special offering for Christmas. So I'm just telling you so you can be ready, because at the end of the service, we're going to receive that special offering. And make sure that you put it in special offering in the envelope or online so it gets to our Christmas projects. But one of our Christmas projects, our international project, is the work of Samaritan's Purse, who's doing a wonderful job. They do a lot of different work around the world. But one of the things that they're doing that we're focusing on this year is they're helping refugees in crisis in Europe. I'm sure many of you have heard on the news this terrible refugee crisis that our world is experiencing, especially in Europe right now. All these people who are making their way from these war-torn countries who have lost everything. And these people are there literally sharing the love of Jesus with broken and hurting people. And this video just reflects that in such a beautiful way. So go ahead and roll that, guys. Isn't that awesome? That's what it's about. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a God who comes to people in their time of need, in their brokenness, in their need, in their sinfulness. It's about a God who loves the hurting and the poor and people who are fleeing from war and have lost everything and have been surrounded by the threat of death. And he comes to us, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to literally go and be Jesus to people who are in need. That's the beauty of Christmas. Listen to me, the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of the Advent season is that God looked down at this world, a world filled with terrible things like war, war that causes innocent families to have to leave their own country because they don't even know if they're going to survive, if they can raise their kids in a war zone like that. God looked down at this world filled with selfishness and greed and injustice and poverty and people hurting each other. And God came down and he got in the middle of this mess. And the scripture says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came to us full of grace and truth. The beauty of Christmas is that God didn't give up on this world. Even though this world is dark and ugly and broken and so often gloomy, God looked down at it and he came, and now he's making everything new. He's redeeming it. He's redeeming us. He's redeeming this world from the curse of sin. And here's the thing. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's inviting you and me to be a part of that. Come on. He's inviting us to be a part of something so much bigger, so much more beautiful than ourselves. He's saying, look, I came to make you beautiful. I came and you've encountered me, and I've showed up in your life in such a wonderful way. You've received my grace. You know my love. You know the blessings of walking with me. And now what I'm calling you to do is go out and give that to somebody else. That's what we're called to do. And it's really something we do all year round. But thank God for Christmas. Come on, aren't you thankful for Christmas? What a wake-up call. What a time of year when we're awakened to the glory of God. His beauty, his love, it's just so evident to us. Thank God for this time of year. And so we don't just want this season to come and pass us by, but we want to have an encounter with God during this time. We want to say, God, who are you sending me to? And God, how can you expand my eyes and my heart and my imagination to see you around me in this world that's filled with bad news? And maybe your life has been dominated with bad news. I get it. I've been there before. Maybe for you, it's been a season of bad news. Nothing's gone your way. Things have been hard. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe something's wrong in your marriage. Maybe there's just been chaos around you. And it's easy to see the world in black and white. But thank God for Christmas. Thank God for Christmas, because it's a reminder of a God who comes up and comes down to us and shows up in our lives. And we're reminded of his love, and we're filled with his peace and his grace. So would you stand with me this morning as we pray? And as I pray for you this morning, I want us just to reflect for just a moment. Would you bow your head, maybe close your eyes, just have a moment of silence between you and the Lord for just a moment. This is your time to reflect on the message, because we don't want to just hear a good talk this morning. We want to come into God's presence and be changed. And so maybe for you, you need to receive that fresh vision of the beauty of Christ. Maybe you need that fresh perspective that we talked about. And your prayer today is, God, open my eyes to see your goodness in my life. God, open my heart to see your beauty in the everyday. God, help me to know that you're with me. Help me to see the good things. Help me to see the blessings. God, I don't want to just be a complainer. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be somebody who has gratitude. Maybe that's you today, and you need to pray that prayer. I know I need to pray that prayer. And then for some of you, maybe it's placing your faith in Christ, maybe for the first time. Maybe recommitting your life to Christ for the first time in a long time. I'm not talking about joining the church. Maybe you got christened. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you went to Sunday school. Maybe you've been catechized. All of those things are wonderful. But I'm talking about you having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, come into my life. I want to know you. I want to know your presence in my life. I want what Pastor Jeremy talked about when he talked about God coming into our lives and making us new. Jesus, I want to trust in you. I recognize my need for a Savior. I can't save myself. And then here's the third thing I want you to reflect on. I think for all of us, our prayer is today, God, help me to spread your beauty and your light in a world that is so often ugly and gloomy and dark. God, send me to bring your love to somebody. Send me to make somebody's life beautiful. God, help me to meet somebody's need. Let me be the one that speaks words of life to somebody. God, send me to hug somebody, to pray for somebody. God, who are you sending me to in this Christmas season? That's our prayer today. And so, God, we thank you today for this wonderful season. God, we thank you for Christmas. God, thank you that Christmas shows up in our lives this time of year. And you wake us up, God. You bring us back to our senses. And God, everywhere we look, we see your beauty. We see your love. We see symbols of your grace and your peace and love and joy. And we're reminded that you're the God who comes to us. And so, Lord, today we're asking you to open our hearts and to open our eyes to see your goodness around us. God, some people in this place today, they've been through a very dark season of life. God, help us to see your light today and to know that you are love and you're good. God, I pray for those today who need to pray that prayer to invite you into their lives. Would you just pray this simple prayer? Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I admit my need for a Savior. Jesus, I confess my sins and I repent today, and I invite you to come into my life. I place my trust and my faith in you. I believe you are the Son of God who came into this world to reveal the love of God, and I receive you into my life today. And then finally, God, we're asking you to send us to somebody. God, send us to be the answer to somebody's prayer. Lord, today in just a few moments as we give in the offering, God, we don't want to just throw a few dollars in the offering, but God, we want to be a part of what you're doing to bring healing to this world, to bring healing to people whose lives are broken. We want to literally be your hands and your feet. God, we don't want to just keep all the joys and the wonder of Christmas to ourselves, but we want to be generous, God. We want to be like you. You're the greatest giver the world has ever seen. And God, we want to be your church. We want to be your people, and we want to change this world for your glory. And so, God, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. And we say, let it be done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.